Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Zvachim Tzadik Aleph. We are holding on Sadi Amud Beis, so it's four lines from the bottom at the beginning of the Gemara, right after the Mishnah. We know there are several factors to consider when determining the order, the sequence of Karbanos. So we have the Tadir factor, the one that's more common, the more frequent one, comes first, and we have the Mekudosh factor as well, the one that's on a higher level, it's more holy, that it's more, you know, encompassing, more powerful. That too is a factor to consider in giving it priority. Now the question is, suppose both these factors collide. Okay? So they're competing factors. Which one overrides the other? Which one supersedes? Tadir or Mekudosh? So you have one carbon which is, you know, more common. On the other side, you have a carbon which is more Mekudosh than this Tadir one. Which one goes first? Ibailu. Now comes an interesting question. You're faced with a choice. Tadir versus Mekudosh. Eizim him kaidim. Which one comes first? Shall we say Tadir comes first? Tadir kaidim? Mishum the Tadir because of the Tadir factor, which is more important? Or you can say Mekudosh kaidim. No, Mekudosh comes first. The Kaddish because of its Kedusha factor. So which one takes priority? Tashma, let's try a couple attempts at resolving this question. In the Mishnah we learned, it's Shabbos today. You have a carbon tabid, which is more tadir, it's a daily carbon. You have musafin, which are more kaddish than the tabid. They relate to the actual holiness of the Shabbos. Which one's first? Tmidin, kaidmin musafin. The tabid comes before the musaf. Apparently, it's tadir and then mikudash. Answer, vafagav the musafin kaddishi, right? Although the musaf is more kaddish than the tadir. Clearly, the tadir takes priority. Answers the Gemara, no, we're making a mistake. The Tamid on Shabbos is not your regular Kurban Tamid. It is also affected by the fact that it's Shabbos. So basically, Shabbos injects an element of superiority into the Tamid as well. It also benefits from Kedushas Shabbos. It also relates to today. So in a sense, the Tamid has two factors in favor. A, it's a Tadir carbon, it comes daily, and two, it also has Kedusha Shabbos, as opposed to Musaf of Shabbos, which only has one element of Kedusha. So certainly, the Tadir would go first. Certainly, the Tamid takes priority. Answers the Gemara, Atu, do you really think Shabbos, that the effect of Shabbos is only felt in the Musaf, the Musaf and Ani, only helps the Musaf and Ani, the Tmidin, Loyanoi? It doesn't help the Talmud, of course it does. Rashi says, the shame Shabbos, the name, the Shabbos label, the Shabbos status, applies itself to the Talmud as well. So now the Talmud has both advantages. A, it's Tadr, and two, it has, you know, the Kedusha as well. Of course it goes first. Toshmai comes another attempt, and this is sort of going to be a recurring, repetitive type of, you know, attempt after attempt, with all, you know, pretty much the same response. Mishnah says, okay, it's Shabbos, which happens to be Rosh Chodesh as well. And Rashi explains, you know, Rosh Chodesh in a way stands higher because it's called Moyed, it's like a Yom Tov, it's, you know, it's an infrequent type of celebration. So the Mishnah says, Rosh Chodesh on Shabbos, which provides you with two carbon musafs, the one of Shabbos, the one of Rosh Chodesh, which one's first? Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh. Oh, why? Because Shabbos is more Tadir, it's a more common occurrence. Apparently, Tadir stands before Mekudosh, and the same answer is going to be here as well. The Rosh Chodesh, just as it benefits its own Musaf, it benefits the Musaf of the Shabbos, which happens to fall out with Rosh Chodesh together. So, it injects the element of Rosh Chodesh into the today's Musaf, as well, into the Shabbos Musaf, into the ordinary Musaf, which now has two advantages, two factors in favor, and of course that goes first, so on and so forth. Tashma, Musaf e Shabbos, Kaidim, they come before the Musaf Rosh Chodesh. Presumably because Shabbos is a Tadr as opposed to Rosh Chodesh. The answer is no. Shabbos, aside from being Tadr, also has the Rosh Chodesh advantage to it as well. Atu Rosh Chodesh, do you think that Rosh Chodesh only helps its own personal Musaf? Musaf in the day, Ahani, the Musaf is Shabbos, Layan, Ahani, it doesn't help the Shabbos Musaf, which comes on Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos as well? Of course it does. So that carbon has two advantages. Tashma has another attempt at it, right? Musaf Rosh Chodesh, Kodim Musaf Rosh Hashanah, so it's Rosh Hashanah, which happens to be Rosh Chodesh, of course. So you meant to bring two types of Musaf. One on account of the regular Rosh Chodesh, one on account of the fact that it's Rosh Hashanah. Which one's first? Rosh Chodesh before Rosh Hashanah. You see, Tadr before Mikudash. Avag of the Rosh Hashanah, Kach, even though Rosh Hashanah stands higher. So you see, Tadr is a stronger factor. The same answer as well. Atu Rosh Hashanah, L'masafi, Didei, Ahani. L'masafi, Rosh Chodesh, L'ahani. You think Rosh Hashanah only elevated its own Musaf, but did not positively affect the Rosh Chodesh Musaf. It certainly did. So now the Rosh Chodesh Musaf brought today on Rosh Hashanah will have both elements to it. Of course it goes first. Tashmai comes another Raya. I'll tell you another reason why. When one makes Kiddush on Shabbos, which is comprised of two brachas, the Hagafen, which is a standard, regular, everyday bracha, and we have the Kedushas Hayayim, the bracha which relates to the holiness of Shabbos. Which one's first? Birchas Hayayim, Tadira. So the wine bracha comes first, because that's the more common bracha. But Birchas Hayayim, Ina Tadira, as opposed to the Kiddush bracha, which is not as common. And we apply the standard rule, v'tader v'she'in atar, you're faced with a choice, more common or less common, tader kaidim, the more frequent comes first. The same question, why? Afagav de brichas hayim kadisha. Right, the bracha of kiddush is a higher holier bracha, relates to kedusha Shabbos. Apparently we ignore that factor in face of tader stands higher. Same answer, says the Gemara, no, this is not a regular hagafen, even the hagafen is an extraordinary hagafen. Atu, do you really think Shabbos, the holiness of Shabbos, only affects its own bracha? It doesn't affect any bracha recited there? Lebrichas hayayim, I know it only affects the brichas hayayim. Lebrichas hayayim, lo yanoi, it doesn't help the regular hagafen. Of course it does. It also assumes the holiness of Shabbos. It's part of Kiddush, and certainly it deserves to be first. Toshmai comes another raya. Pretty much, you know, again on the same track, the Omer B'yechan, B'yechan teaches, okay, it's the afternoon. You have yet to daven Musaf, which can really be davened earlier. But now it's time for Mincha, so which one goes first? Mispal, halacha mispal, adam shal Mincha, v'chakach shem Musaf, and first goes Mincha, and then Musaf. Why? Musaf is more Kaddish. The answer is Mincha is more Tadr. Apparently Tadr comes first. Says the Gemara, no. Once again, Atu Shabbos, Latvilas Musafin Anoy, you think the Kedushas HaShabbos only positively benefits the Musaf of today? Latvilas Mincha La'Anoy doesn't elevate the Musaf? Surely does. So, you know, it's Shabbos today. Should I daven the Shabbos Dikah Mincha first, or the Shabbos Dikah Musaf? The answer is, of course, Mincha, because aside from being a Shabbos Dikah Mincha, which gives it Kedusha, it also has the Tadir factor on itself. Toshmai comes another raya. We learned in the Mishnah yesterday. Shlomim Shalemish. Chatos va'osham shalyoim. So the Gemara is assuming it's Monday today, and yesterday on Sunday there was some shlomim delivered to the Beis Hamikdash, and it was shechted today. So we have a shechted shlomim awaiting further processing, versus the chatos va'osham that was delivered today. So we have Shlamim Shalemish, which is a lower level carbon, but it's been around for a while. It's come first, right? Versus the Chatas V'Asham, which is a higher carbon, but Shalyayim, it's up today. The Mishnah says, which one's first? Shlamim Shalemish Koidin. Yesterday, Shlamim is processed first. Okay. That's only because it was here yesterday. So as Rashi said in the Mishnah, it's a zilzal. You don't want to, you know, degrade the carbon by letting it wait. Fine. But suppose, let's make an observation. Suppose both arrive today. And you face with a choice. Shlamim or Chatas. Ha idiv ididiyayim. Which one's first? It sounds from the Mishnah, Chatas v'asham kadmi. First come the Chatas v'asham. Why? V'afagav the Shlamim tadiri. Here's a classic conflict between Tadr, which is the Shlamim, and the Chatas V'Asham, which are more Kaddish. Apparently, Tadr goes first. Amar Rava. You know why? Here it's different. Motzei ka'amris. You know why they... Right? So again, we made a dig. If they were both here only today, the chatas rashim comes first, because kodesh is more important than tadir. Va'avaga the shlamet tadir, right? We sort of ignore the fact that the shlamet is more tadir. I'm a rabbi. You know why the chatas rashim will go first? Typically, perhaps a tadir goes first. Here, the shlamim is not tadir. It doesn't qualify as tadir. You know, tadir means it's a frequent obligation. Like a common tamid. It's a daily fear. It's a daily obligation. It's a daily chiyuv. It's a recurring obligation. It's a constant obligation. And certainly, that has an advantage, right? But a shlamim, you're not chayiv to bring a shlamim on a regular basis. It's more common for people to bring shlamim, that's true. But not obligated to bring the shlamim. Amrava matzah ka'amris. Yeah, it's more common in terms of happenances. It's more frequent in terms of circumstance. It's true. But that's not what we're talking about. That's not tadir. It comes more frequently statistically. It's true. Tadir kumei b'olam. We're discussing tadir. Matzah kumei b'olam. We're speaking about common obligations. We're not speaking about what is more statistically common, and therefore you can't compare it. Really? You're distinguishing between tadir and matzoi, and not treating matzoi like a tadir? Really? Do you think matzoi love tadir? Doesn't have the status of tadir, v'atani, you have a braisa. That seems to indicate that it does. So the braisa is speaking about the chiyuv of a chatos, right, which applies when one sins inadvertently, a severe sin which entails kares if done purposely. But there are two exceptions to the rule, which is if one does not bring a karban Pesach or one neglects doing a bris milah. In these two instances, there is no chatos, and the brisa says, "Vatani, perhaps oitzias a Pesach, I will exclude the Pesach from this chatos obligation." Sheina tader. Because it's not such a common carbon. But Mila? Mila is a daily occurrence. I will not exclude the Mila. Sheitadira, it's very common. Oh! The Brisa considered Mila a tadir. What do you mean? It's a once in a lifetime. You know, a person, an individual, doesn't have more than one chiv of bris per life, right? Why are we calling it tadir? Apparently, the term tadir can apply itself even to something which is more numerous, more common statistically. More commonly found. Says the Gemara, no, my tadira, when we use the word tadira here, tadira of mitzvahs, we didn't mean tadir, in this context. We meant that it comes along with a whole set of mitzvahs, says Rashi. Shenichrusu aleha shloishas ribrisas v'tzivuyin. Look in the psukim over there. You find the Lashon Bris many times, and many, many, tzivuyim, 13 bris, 13 levels of covenant, 13 levels of connection. And that's what the Brisa meant. A totally different, application to this word tamid. Boyesema, another answer can be given. Generally, something which is merely matzah doesn't qualify as tadir with respect to our discussion, our sukkah, with respect to prioritizing, over the kaddish. When the Braisa there says that Mila is a tadir, it meant with respect to Pesach, meaning relative to Karban Pesach. What you say, Mila l'gabei Pesach k'tadir damya. Since Pesach is just once a year, it's an annual thing, and Mila is very common. Rashi says Mutsuya yharbi Pesach. It sort of outshines it in terms of commonality. It's way, way more. So yeah, one relative to the other, you can give it the label tadir. But says Rashi, in terms of comparing a shlomim, although it's a more common carbon than a chatos, but it's not sort of overwhelmingly tadir. So we don't treat it like tadir. It doesn't have that same, status. Okay, so bottom line is, we started with a question and we left off with a question. If you have a tadir factor versus a kaddish factor, which one's first? We haven't really... as of yet, unresolved. But what we do know is that if it's tadir versus ainay tadir goes first. Now comes an interesting question. Suppose he didn't listen. He didn't research the facts before he proceeded. So he went ahead and did. The less common, the ainu tadr before the tadr. What happens now? Should he continue? So he did the shechita. Do you continue? Do you just stop cold? Shift over to the tadr and then come back. He boiled. Here comes the shaykh. He's faced with a choice. Tadir, right? V'sheina tadir. He's meant to do the tadir, of course. V'kadim v'shachat v'sheina tadir. He opted to do the shechita on the eina tadir. My, what happens now? We, Amrinan, shall we say, keep on going. We know that typically, ein ma'avirin ala mitzvahs. Once you're involved in a mitzvah, once you confront a mitzvah, once you're faced with an opportunity to do a mitzvah, you don't stop. Keeping the shachta, once he did the shechita, makrivly continues and processes the carb until the end, and then goes over to the tadir. Or you can say, no, you must stop right then and there. Yohiv la'acher, although he already has a shechita, the blood is here; it's going to congeal. Okay, hand the blood over to somebody. Yohiv la'acher, the memaris b'dami, who will stir the blood to prevent it from congealing. Ah, the makrivly l'tadir. He does that as you're doing the tadir now, right? So during the processing of the tadir, the blood will be stirred and be kept on hold. V'hada makriv l'sheina tadir. Then he goes back and completes the eina tadir. Amar avhuna misura tashma. Let's bring it right from our mission. The one we just discussed a minute ago. So you have shlomim shel emesh, right? Chatas v'asham shel yoyim. And we're assuming at this point in the Gemara that what happened was, today is Monday. We have a shlamim that arrived yesterday on Sunday. So he came first. He was shechta today on Monday. And there was a chatas and asham sitting around from today as well. Says the Mishnah, which one comes first? Of course, the shlamim, because he was here since yesterday, right? Shlamim shel emesh. Chatas v'asham shel yoyim. You continue. You finish the shlamim first. Shel emesh koidim. Yesterday shlamim goes first. L'shel yoyim. Before today is chatas v'asham. Okay, pretty simple. But now let's make an observation. Suppose the facts were a bit different. Both the shlamim and the chatas had arrived today on Monday. And without asking questions, he did the shechita on the shlamim first. Okay, so now he has a choice. Should I continue the shlamim? Or do I stop there, move over to the chatas, and then go back to the shlamim? Which is exactly the subject of our discussion, right? However, if the shlamim too would have arrived today, and would be in a similar situation like the yesterday one, meaning like the previous case, meaning it was already shechted, dechidami, for example, the kadim shechti l'shlamim. He did the shechita of the shlamim first. Okay, they both came today. He should not have done the shlamim first because the chatas v'asham, right? Take priority. They're more mekudesh, right? He did the shlamim first. What does the Mishnah seem to tell us? You stop the process, right? You put it on hold. Chatas v'asham kadmi. You move over to the chatas v'asham. Finish them and then go back to the shlamim. There you go. Says the Gemara, no. Dilma shlamim de'emesh. V'chatas v'asham de'yayim. Hechem eshkachs. Perhaps we're mistaken in our understanding of the Mishnah. The Mishnah speaks about a shlamim arriving yesterday. Now it's Monday, or shechta today. And a chatas v'asham that arrived only today. But what happened was he shechted them too. We're speaking that all of them were shechted. And now it's just a question of which blood should I process first. Dilma v'shlamim de'emesh, v'chatas v'asham de'yoyim. Perhaps this case where the shlamim came yesterday and chatas today. Hechem eshkachs, what exactly happened? Shechtinu tarvayu, he shechted both. So although he has the chatas blood waiting right here, still, the Mishnah says you continue with the shlamim because the shlamim had come first, and that's the right way to do it. And on that we can make a diyuk, an observation, I suppose. The facts were a bit different. We're not dealing with yesterday shlamim, over today chadash. No, everything arrived today. And he proceeded with the shechita on both. First the shlamim, then the chadash. Now he's wondering, what should I do with the zrika? Sure, in this case we would tell him, do the chadash first. Because it's blood versus blood. Right? So, of course, you do the chatas blood before the yash, before the shlamim blood. You want to go first. Shatinu tavayu. No question what to do in that. Avaloi shatinu tavayu tiboyla, but certainly, in a situation such as yours, where he did not do the shechita on both as of now. Right? So you have a, you know, one is a tadr, one is an inner tadr, and he happened to do the shechita on the inner tadr. Now you have a good question on hand. What should I do? Should I just keep on going? Ein mavir al mitzvahs, even though I shouldn't have done. Once you start, I keep on going, complete to the finish line. Or do we say no? Abort the process. Stop right. Put it on pause and go to the tadr first. So when you can't prove anything from our Mishnah, even according to your observation, according to your deal, according to your inference, that had they both come today, the chatas goes first. Because we're speaking that both are shechted. Both are shechted, of course. You know, it's an even equation. What should I do with blood versus blood? Do the chatas first, because it stands higher. But if only what is shechted, even the inappropriate one was shechted. The one out of order was shechted. But once he's shechted, perhaps you just keep on going, and then shecht the other one. Tiboylach, we still have the same question. Toshmai comes another attempt at resolving this issue. The halacha of Kiddush, right? Kiddush has two brachas, the yayin and the yoyim, davar acher, brachas ayin tadira, yayin is more tadir, brachas ayin tadira, the brachas ayin is not so tadir, and v'tadir shein tadir, tadir koidim, therefore the wine comes first. So what's the question? Explains Rashi. So the brachas ayin is not tadir. Okay. But what came first? Once Shabbos arrived, the chadoi, the kras kral, the boi, Shabbos arrived before the wine showed up. So in a sense, that Eino Tadir got his foot in first. Why don't you just keep on going? No, we shift over to the Yayin. Apparently, even when you started the process, you must stop and recalibrate and reset the order. Right? Hachanami says, no, incorrect. It's a different type of case. The Kivin the Asyan, there's a Gersa, the Kivin the Asa Yayin, once the wine shows up, it's Kiddush time. So now you're faced with both equal choices. True, initially, you know, Shabbos arrived first, but today, right now, in the moment, you have an equal choice. You have Shabbos and wine in front of you. Which one's first? So that's Kemad Shechiti Tavari Domi. They're both on the same plane. It's like the two karbonos that were already shechted. So, of course, you opt to do the better one, the higher one first. Tashma is another raya from the story of the fellow who's still davening Musaf, Shabbos afternoon. Tashma, the Rabbi Yechanan, halacha mispal adam shal mincha, v'achakach shem musafim. First mincha and then Musaf, because mincha is more tader. Fine, but Musaf is already in the door. Why don't you do Musaf first? Right? Rashi explains, the Zman of Musaf starts before Zman of Mincha. Mincha is only in the afternoon, Musaf is in the morning. Still, we sort of push aside the Musaf and go on with Mincha. So you see, even though you started the process, it doesn't justify. Hachinami, the answer is no. Kiven the Mati Zman Tfilas Mincha, once it's already afternoon. So both Tfilas are now available. Kaman Deshchiti Tavari Dom, it's like those two Karbanis already shechted. Of course you do the more Tadr or the more Mekadosh. Amar Leir of Ach, Veder of Ashla Ravina. I'll bring you a raya. The halacha is shchotei koidim chatzoi is possible. So the Korban Pesach is meant to be shechted in the afternoon, right? Erev Pesach afternoon, and ideally after the Korban Tamid, after the afternoon Tamid. Suppose he didn't shchotei koidim chatzoi. He did it before chatzoi. It's possible, because that's an absolute requirement. Mishnah Boy, it says regarding the Korban Pesach ben arbaim afternoon only. However, koidim la tamid, if he'll shechted before the tamid, kosher. Okay, it passes. But put it on hold. We hate memaris bedame. We'll have somebody stir the blood to prevent it from congealing and disqualifying it from zrika. And shizar kadam. Hold on to it until they do the zrika of the tumid first, and then you follow with the pesach. Apparently, when something was done out of order, you don't just continue, you know, blindly. You press pause, bring in the right one first, and then go back to this one. Says the Gemara, Hachem Ma'iskinon. Once again, this is not really going to prove anything because we're speaking kagan deshkadim shachti lehamid bereisha. That was that not only did he do the Pesach, but he did the Tumid as well before asking any questions. So now we have two karbanos on the same at the same stage, blood versus blood. Of course, in this case, you stop with the Pesach, move on with the Tumid, and come back to the Pesach. Going to call them Shachtel Tamid Marish, Amalir of Acha Sabal Ravashi. Masisanami Dek, I'll even prove it from the wording in the Mishnah that was speaking as such, that the Tamid is already after Shechita. Dektani, because the Mishnah is describing the stirring of the Karban Pesach until when? It says, until Dektani Achi Yizarek Adam, until they do the Zrika of the Dam Tamid. Apparently, we have blood here already. Dektani Achi Yishchit Yizarek Dam. Shemamino doesn't say, wait until they do the Shechita of the Tamid and the Zrika. Apparently, it's already after Shechita, so you have a Shechtet Pesach, a Shechtet Tamid. Of course, in this case, you do the Zrika of the one that's meant to come first, Shmam. So again, we had a Shaila, which is unresolved. Suppose you went out of order. Right? You did the Shechita of the Einata, the first. What happens now? Do we stop mid-process, wait until the other one, or do we just continue and then go back? We're not sure. Mishnah concludes that the Kayhanim could consume karbanis in any fashion that they choose, any style, any recipe. My time away. I'm a crowd. The pasuk says lamashcha. Lamashcha means with royalty. The gdula kaderach sham lachem oichlan. The way royalty eat, gourmet style, says the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Shimon. Here comes a question: could a person donate oil? We can donate a carbon, a bird, a mincha. And, you know, oil that comes along with the mincha, mixed into the mincha. But what about just donating plain oil to the mizbeach? Om Rav Shimon, there's no such a thing. If in fact you notice, if you ever notice, you're walking around the Beis HaMidrash, you notice oil being distributed to the Kayhanim. It wasn't donated oil. I'll tell you what it's from. Don't wonder asking. Don't bother asking what it is. I'll tell you what it is. Ela moisar rikikim in chas Yisrael. It must be the leftover oil from which they smear on the crackers of the mincha of the Yisrael. V'luk shemen shel metzera, the leftover of the luk shemen of the metzera which he brings as part of his kapara, part of his tahara. Likewise, marisa shemen shu nitan al gabi ishim. If you ever notice some oil being sprinkled on the fire on the mizbeach, once again, Don't be surprised. Ain't Sarah Lishalma. Don't, you don't have to ask why or what it is. I'll tell you what it is. Ela Moisa Rikikim Nichas Kayanim. Umichas Kay Mashiach must be the leftovers of oil used for a Kayan's Mincha, which is meant to be completely burnt. She'ain Misnad Mincha. There's no other option. There's no donated oil. If you see oil, it must be leftovers from something. However, Rabbi Tarfon, I mean Misnad Mincha. Yes, you can donate oil. It says the Gemara Amar Shmuel, Divrei Rabbi Tarfon. How does this work? According to Rabbi Tarfon, you can donate oil. How do you go about doing that? Says Shmuel, actually, it's like a regular mincha. It's treated like a mincha, which has to have a kmitza, right? You have to scoop some out of it. It's pretty difficult to scoop oil. The liver of Tarfon, it's not a shemen. If one happened to donate oil to the mizbeach, to the Beis HaMikdash, kmitza, first you do kmitza, take a bit of oil, scoop it up, and put that on the mizbeach. Shiar nechol, and the leftovers are consumed by the kayhanim like any other mincha. My time, why? How do we know this is true? How do we know that a mincha process applies to oil as well? Amakro, karba mincha. The pasuk is speaking about donating a mincha instead of just saying he donated a mincha. It says karban mincha. The extra word karban tells you you can donate a different type of even oil. Mlamish and misnad and shemen. You can donate oil, and it's covered by the same process, the same hakrava system as a mincha. There's kmitza, there's leftovers to the kayhanim. V'chi mincha, it's modeled after a mincha. Ma mincha, koimtza, just like by a mincha, you do kmitza The leftovers are consumed by the kayhanim, av shemen, likewise by oil, it's donated. It follows the same system. Koimsoi, you do kmitza from that oil and put that on the mizbeach. Ushiyarav, and the leftovers nechon are given to the kayhanim. Omrab zera, avananam tanina. I'll prove to you that this is in fact the proper process from our mission. Omrab shemen, himor isa shemen shemeschalak bazara. Right? So Rishimun stated, oil distributed in the Azara is not going to be donated oil. It's leftovers from a mincha. Iyata tzurich, tzurich lishal mao. Don't wonder what it is. Ella, I'll tell you what it is. Moisa rukiki minchas Yisrael, right? Look, Shem is not Rishimun. There's no concept of donated oil. That's Rishimun's sheet. In contrast to Rabbi Tarfon, who says there is, right? Michlal, apparently. The man, the Amar Misnadvin, according to Rabbi Tarfon, that one may donate oil. How is it processed? Mischalik, apparently there's some distribution taking place. Just as Shmuel told us. The leftovers of the kmitza is given to the kayan. Amalia Abai says Abai to Reb Zera. I understand you have a diuk, but that's only from the first part of the Mishnah. Amos Seifa. You know what? Let's move on to the next part of the Mishnah, where it seems that in fact donated oil would be totally burnt on the Mizbeach. Nothing for the kayan. Amos Seifa. Imro Isa Shemesh Nitna Gabi Ishim. Okay, the Mishnah says, if you notice some oil being sprinkled on the fire, yato tzorach lishol ma, don't wonder what it is. Ella, I'll tell you what it is. Maisa rutike minchas kayanim, u minchas kay mashiach. It must be the remnants of the oil that comes along with the minchas kayanim. Okay? She'ein misnat mishem, that's the only option. Because there is no donated oil, which would be completely burnt on the Mishnah. There's no concept of that's Reb Shimon Shit. In contrast to Rabbi Tarfon, who says, one may donate oil. But apparently, that donated oil ends up being burnt on the Mizbeach completely. Right? That's what it sounds like. Mechladel madam misnadvin. Apparently, the one that holds that you do donate oil, kulon l'ishem, is completely burnt on the Mizbeach, unlike Shmuel's description of events. So now, Abaye sourced his opinion from the second part of the Mishnah, that's completely burnt, and Rav Zera sourced from the first part of the Mishnah, where it sounds like most of it is distributed to the Kohanim. So what does each sheet to do with the other one's inferences? La Abaye coined Abaye Kashi Resha. The first part of Mishnah seems to be difficult to coin him. The Reb Zera Kashi Seif coined Reb Zera, there will be a Kashi from the second part of the Mishnah. Now, Mishnah Mila Reb Zera, coined Reb Zera, we can answer it very simply. Part one of the Mishnah, which indicates that the donated oil goes to the Kohanim, is speaking about the leftover. Right? Shmuel tells us that donated oil goes through a process like a mincha. Part of it is a kaimitz burnt on the mizbeach, and part of it is distributed to the kayan. Okay, so every oil that's donated has two parts: fire or kayanim. So bishlam and rabzeiru, chun rabzeiru, reisha. Part A of the Mishnah, which indicates given to the kayanim b'shirai, that's the leftovers once the kmitz had been removed. Safe a part B of the Mishnah, which indicates burning of the oil, b'kaimitz. That's on the kaimitz part. El alabaya kashi. According to Abaye, that's completely burned. What does he do with the first part of the Mishnah, which sounds like the donated oil is given to the kayanim? Well, tana reisha to seifa. The Mishnah and the reisha didn't really mean it that way, although the wording seemed to indicate. But the Mishnah used wording which is similar to the second part of the Mishnah, which is really the focal point. Now I know, typically, part B of a Mishnah, it makes sense that it's modeled after part A, following the same, pattern of phraseology. Okay, that works. Elaration Mishnah Seifa, but since when do you phrase part A on account of phrase B, which comes afterwards? Me, Tani? Yeah, it can happen. Amri Marav, in fact, I'm sure they concurred. Tan Reisha Mishum Seifa, sometimes the Mishnah would actually choose wording in the Reisha modeled after the conclusion of the Mishnah. Okay, so bottom line is, can one donate oil just as a standalone offering? We have a Machlokes in the Mishnah. Rav Shimon says no. Rabbi Tarfon says yes. Now, according to Rabbi Tarfon, the answer is yes. What do you do with that oil? How do you process it? According to Shmuel, we treat it like a regular mincha, because actually it's covered by the pasuk karban mincha, which alludes to donating oil. So in terms of processing, you follow the same mincha system. Kmitza goes to the mizbeach, and the rest to the kohanim. as opposed to Abaye, who seemed to disagree. He says, no, it's completely burned on the Mizbeach. Kulo le Mizbeach. Toshma, we're going to try to prove which way to go on this. Yayin Kedivrei, we have a Tosefta, a Braisa. Yayin, wine that was donated, Kedivrei Rebbe Kiva Lesfalim, according to Rebbe Kiva, it's poured into these containers, into these pails that were on the top of the Mizbeach, which typically were meant for wine, right? It would trickle down into the drainage system, down to the Shisin below the Mizbeach. Yayin, Kedivrei Rebbe Kiva Lesfalim, donated wine, goes into the Sfalim. Shemen, Kedivrei Rebbe Tarfon Laishim, going to Rebbe Tarfon, he donated oil as well, that's sprinkled on the fire. Okay? Now we assume that the Braisa is describing a similar process that applies to wine, like it applies to oil. My love, let's assume that the yayin kulo lesfalim, just as the wine is completely poured into the sfalim without any further distribution, you know, to the kayanim. Likewise, the oil donation according to Rebbe Tarfon, shemen kulo leishim, completely burnt. This is like a bayis shita, that's completely burnt. Midi area, you can't compare the two. Halkadisa, each item is different. Each one has its own distinct process. Perhaps, yeah, the wine to this fallen, but the oil? You never know, perhaps. Only the kaimitz goes on the fire and the rest to the kayan. On Rapapa Katanoi, actually says Rapapa, our question connects to a machlekes tanoim. This machlekes between Shmuel who says that there's kmitzada and the rest of the kayanim, and Abai who says completely on the mizbeach, is a machlekes tanoim between Rebbe and the chacham. Okay, so one gets up and promises. He donates shemen. So it doesn't say how much. What's the minimum requirement? Lo yifches miluk, can't do less than a luk. Why? We'll see in a minute. Rabbi Omer Shloshes Lug, and he says it's 3 lug at a minimum. Michael Mifflin, what's the machlekes about? Now, we do find some precedents to donating oil. We have a standard mincha, which comes along with a lug of shemen. We have elsewhere, liquids that are donated, nesachim, wines that come with a carbon, which the smallest amount of them is a 3 lug dose, right? That comes with a keves. So the question is, in this case, he's donating liquid on its own as a standalone independent entity. What should we compare it to? Which precedent should we compare it to? So, firstly, we have to compare it to a mincha. Just like by a mincha, there's oil that would sort of open the door and allow anybody to donate oil. So the concept has to be derived from the standard mincha. Now the question is, if we have to import a concept from somewhere, does one have to import the entire package as well? So just like conceptually, we learned that you can do it from the mincha. Likewise, in terms of the quantity, the amount, you have to compare it to a mincha as well. So you import the entire package. Hence, Shitas Rabbanan, if you want to donate oil, be my guest, but do it as a lug. At a minimum. Whereas Rebbe holds, yeah, we need to import something from the standard mincha. The concept that you can donate oil. But once we have that in our pocket, we can go back home. We don't have to import the entire package in terms of the quantity and all the other details. Let's go back home. Let's compare it to something which seems to be more at home with a bucket of oil. Nesachim, right? These liquids that come along with karbonis. And over there we find that the minimum amount, it actually speaks about wine, the minimum amount is 3 lug. Right? So likewise, let's assume that the minimum allowable amount of oil is 3 lug. Okay, so that seems to be the machlekes. And if that's the case, if that in fact is the background, the basis for this machlekes, this will also extend to another question. What do you do with this oil? Fine, you can donate oil, whether it's a lug or 3 lug. But the destiny, the fate, so to speak, of this oil, in terms of the machlekes we had before, in terms of the exact process applied to it, whether it's completely burnt or You take off a kaimis and the rest of the kaimis. That question really revolves around this point as well. How do we define this carbon? How do we define this oil donation? Do we have to compare it to the mincha, after all, because that's the source for this whole concept? And just like by a mincha, there's kmitza and the rest of the kohanim here as well. The oil that you're donating, even though it's a standalone oil donation, you have to follow the same method of akrava. That would be the shita's chacham. Whereas Rebbe, who says, yeah, the source is mincha, but bring it back home. And other halachas you can learn locally from something which is more similar, like the nesachim. So just like a nesachim doesn't have kmitza, you take the wine and pour it completely on the mizbeach. Likewise, the three lug of oil are completely incinerated on the mizbeach. So you see how it all connects to each other, ultimately resulting in a machlekes tanoim. In terms of the specifics of how to deal with a donated oil. So what's the machlekes about? Amru Rabban kamei de Rapapa. So the Chachamim presented, suggested, proposed to Rapapa like this. It connects to a general, universal question. When you import something, can you suffice with just importing the concept and the rest will learn, you know, locally? Or do you have to import the entire thing with all its trimmings? Doin mina, umina. When you learn from mina, from it, umina, you have to bring it all in. Doin mina, you can just learn from it. Uki basram, bring it back home. Iki bina, that seems to be the point of contention. Rabbana sab, Rabbana say, ma mincha misnatan avshem misnatan. How do we know that you can even donate oil on its own? That was from the pasuk we had before, karban mincha. The extra word karban. So it's learned from the mincha concept. Just like you donate a mincha, you can donate oil, avshem misnatan. And that also determines the amount. Umina, we have to learn from the mincha as well regarding the amount. Ma mincha luk shemen, just like a luk shemen is brought with a mincha, afkan luk shemen. Likewise, when you want to donate oil, it has to be a luk shemen. And furthermore, number three, uma mincha kaim tzav shver nechon, just like by mincha, you do kmitza and the rest of it, idn kayanim. Af shemen, likewise by oil, kaim tzav, you do the kmitza, which goes on the mizbeach, shver nechon, the leftovers are consumed by the kayanim. That would be the chacham shita. And this is like Shmuel's description of events. Ve'idach, whereas Rebbe holds, yeah, mi mincha. The concept is learned from mincha. Ma mincha misnadvin, av shemen misnadvin. Donate a mincha, donate oil. That's it, stop right there. In terms of details, bring it back home. Vugi basra, come back home. Compare it to a kinesachem, like the wines that come with a mincha, Rashi, with a carbon. Because there's a strong similarity between the two. You're not donating oil as, you know, mixed in with a mincha. It's a separate liquid donation. It's more similar to the nesachim. And therefore, compare the quantity as well. Man nesachim is shleishas lugin, afshem is shleishas lugin. And furthermore, number three, uman nesachim kul nesfalim, just like the wine of the nesachim is completely poured in the svalim, afshem kul leishin, likewise the oil that's donated completely on the fire. So it's a machlokes tanoim, in terms of what to do with donated oil. Amar papa labbai. Shapapa asked labbai. Even mincha ma'isi lo. I disagree. If in fact, the source would be mincha, Rebbe, even Rebbe would source it from mincha as you're proposing, the kuliyam all would agree. There would be no machlekes. Doim mino mino, I have to bring it all in. The concept and all its trimmings, and all its details, all its quantities, and all its processes from the actual source. You can't bring it back home and just... Ela Rebbe me'ezrach gamal. Rather, Rebbe learns from a different source. Ezrach, which is a pasuk by Nesachim, which says the word ezrach, which is extra, to cover even a oil donation. So it's not sourced in mincha, it's sourced in nesachim. Okay, hence it follows the nesachim pattern. Very simple. Amali Rafun Bidib Nosan Apap. Mimatzis Amrus. Okay, how could you say that according to Rebbe, it's not sourced from mincha? Vatani, we have a braisa that it is, even according to Rebbe. Karban mincha, right? That's the pasuk by nesachim. We learn Melamashim is not min shemen. The extra word tells us even shemen can be donated. The common, how much? Shloish shalugin. That's like Rebbe, right? And he's sourcing it from mincha. Unlike your proposal. Uman Shamas Lay Damash Lesha Lug. Who's the one that determines that a three lug Rebbe Vukam Maislami Karban? And clearly he's sourcing it from Karban Mincha, not from the Ezrach Pasuk, like your Amal. He says, you're right, I can see it. Itanya, if you found a Brisa like that, Tanya, fine, I accept it. Tanya. Okay, in any case, if one donates oil, which he could according to Reb Tarfon, what do you do with it? According to Abaye, completely burnt on the Mizbeach, which coincides with Shitas Rabbana in this brisa, versus Shmuel who says you do kmitza and the leftovers to the kohanim, which coincides with Rebbe Shita in this brisa. Amar Shmuel. Okay, it's another statement from Shmuel regarding a wine donation. What do you do with it? Hamisnat of Shemen, maybe umezalfel gabi ishim. In this case, there's no question. Even according to Shmuel, you take it and you sprinkle it on the fire of the mizbeach. My time, why am I crow? V'yayin takru l'nesach chatzin ishei reyach nechayach Hashem to tell you, donated wine goes up in fire. Problem is, you're not allowed to put out the fire on the mizbeach. It's alive. And by sprinkling liquid on that fire, inevitably, you're going to be extinguishing the fire. V'kem machabi. The answer is kibbeh, but mixas lo shmei kibbeh. A partial extinguishment is not a big deal, as long as there's still some fire burning. Any, really? V'ara arach non ravua, ha-moyer g'achelas magam mizbeach. A person simply removes one coal, one burning coal from his mizbeach, v'chibbeh, and puts it out chayiv. He's liable. So you see, even partial is a problem. V'lakai lahai. No, they were speaking that there's only one coal on the mizbeach. And by putting it out, there's no fire left, as opposed to our case. As long as there's some fire left, it's okay. Why, Rashi says, because the Torah is makbid on esh tamid tukad al mizbeach. It should be a constant, continuous fire. As long as there's some fire on the mizbeach, it's okay. Iba yisei makivu the mitzvah shiny. Another answer to the question could be, although generally you can't put out anything, even a small portion of the mizbeach, but here it's for the sake of mitzvah, to be makriv is wine, so that's different. Toshma. Okay, so in this case, partial is okay. Toshma. The Tanna Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So I have a braisa. I'm quoting Elazar ben Yaakov, which says like this. Klapei should not know Torah, literally. Since the Torah allows the Kohen to do Trumas Adeshin, right, every morning he would remove a shovel of coals, of ashes, and do Trumas Adeshin, Yochali Chabav Yitran, perhaps, if he encounters burning coals, still active coals, he would have to put it out and do Truma. No, Amris Lo Yichabav, no, don't put out. So you see from here, even though there's a mitzvah, and what he's doing, you can't put out anything. Shani Hasam, Efshad Yosef and Natar. Yeah, it's different there, because he should sit and wait until it goes out and take from the, burnt out coals, as opposed to a fellow's donating his wine. There's no other option other than sprinkling it on the mizbeach. Toshmai comes another kasha. Shmuel says that wine is sprinkled on the mizbeach. We have the brisa discussed earlier. Yain. Donated wine. Kedivrei Rabbi Akiva, who says you can donate wine. The sfalim is poured into the buckets. On the mizbeach shem, kedivrei Rabbi Tarfon, the oil, kontra Rabbi Tarfon, ishim on the fire. So clearly, the only thing that's sprinkled on the fire is the oil, because it actually enhances the fire. But wine, which puts out the fire, is not allowed on the mizbeach. Voitan, here's another kash. Yai nesach l'sfalim. Right? So the Torah, which instructs us to pour that wine, wine which accompanies a carbon, let's follow, goes into the buckets. Oh yeah, no, Lishim, perhaps it goes on the fire. Amr Slo Yechab, but Baisa says, no, you can't do that, you can't put out the fire. Apparently it's not allowed. Like Kash, the answer is like this. There are different opinions here regarding causation. Causation, when it's not really your intention to do so. It's called Dovah She'eini Miskaven. I do a Maisa, I do an act. And it brings about, unintended consequences, unintentional results, which may be an Isra or a Malach on Shabbos. Is it allowed or not? Rabbi Yehuda says, Dov Hashem Miskaven is Asr. And this brisa follows his Shita. And that disallows pouring wine on the Mizbech. Although, he's not trying to put it out, Dov Hashem Miskaven is Asr. Ultimately, it's causing it to get extinguished. Rabbi Yehuda, Ha, but Shmuel, who allows it? Rabbi Shimon is going to Rabbi Shimon, who says, Dov Hashem Miskaven is Mutter. Even though it may cause some fire to go out, that's not his intention. So as the one, remember the Shmuel, Reb Shimon, really? Shmuel is in line with Reb Shimon? But Amar Shmuel, Shmuel tells us elsewhere, and this actually connects to totally another, different machlekes between Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, So we've discussed Davar She'ena Meskaven, right? Now we're going to move on to something called Melacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa, which is also subject to Machlekes between these same opinions, Rabbi Yehuda Shimon, but it's a totally different twist. Classic example is, carrying a Shabbos is a Melacha, right? What if he carries out a mace, a dead person, right? He vacates the home from the mace. And he carries him outside. So on the one hand, he did a malach. On the other hand, his objective, his goal, his purpose is not to carry the mace through the street. He just wants his house vacated. It's a malach. But it's not needed for its own objective, for its own sake. Rather, it's just a means to achieve a different goal. Reb Shimon says it's pater, because, Shabbos we need to, because it's not his goal. He's not trying to achieve this particular thing. It's just a means to achieve something else. It's not really a malach. Rabbi Yehuda says no. It's treated like any other malach. Okay. Vamar Shmuel. Now Shmuel tells us, Mechaben gachelel shematechet b'shus harav. If you encounter a coal made of metallic material, which Rashi says is technically not really a flame. I mean, a Torah is not really put it out, you're not really extinguishing a fire. It's only midrabbana, which is similar to a fire. If you encounter it in the street and it poses danger to passerby, you can be mechaben gachelas, shamatech, v'shram, you can put it out. Why? Because it's shamatechas. It's a rabbana. V'shvil shalo yizoyku b'ram, to avoid any possibility of causing harm. Okay? So to remove a danger, it's allowed. But if you encounter a standard coal of wood, burning material, where the extinguishment of this item is Issa D'Oraisa, it's a melacha, putting out a fire. No, you can't do that on Shabbos, even if it's, to protect the passerby. That's a melacha D'Oraisa. Let's think for a second. Why is this a melacha? Is he really trying to put out this fire? He's trying to get it out of the way. That's a malacha she'en etzricha legufa. It's not either for its own sake. According to Hashem, that would be okay. It would be allowed to protect the passerby. Why is Shmuel disallowing it? And if you're telling me that Shmuel holds like Reb Shimon regarding that other question of, unintended consequences, which is a different topic, but we're assuming if you hold like Reb Shimon in one, you hold like him in the other. So then what's the issue with a regular koa? If you look at Chalash Leitz number, says the Gemara, it's unconnected. There are two different discussions here. One is b'davar she'ein meskaven, and that question, which relates to the wine sprinkled on the fire, it's unintended consequences. So the Reb Shimon, and that is also Reb Shimon, that it's mutter, and that's why he allows sprinkling the wine on that fire, despite the fact that it can cause kibui. However, regarding the question of the coal on Shabbos, which is a totally different discussion, he's doing a melacha outright, he's putting it out, but it's not needed for its own sake, it's needed for something else. So regarding that question, so look at Rabbi Yehuda, it's us. Two things are really unrelated. Okay, let's just finish off another piece. So we know that if carbon material goes amiss, there's a mishap, it becomes tamei, it becomes pasul, there is a special halacha that you have to burn it in the azara. Ba'kodesh be'esh tesaref. What about nesachim, liquids? Does that encounter tumah? What do you do with them? Says Rav Huna, you can't just throw it into the regular fire. It's not going to be noticeable, it's not going to be discernible. You have to make a special, separate fire for these liquids so that it's visibly... It's nikar, Rashi says, nikaris la'atzman, it's clearly being done in a public manner, in a visible manner. Oizlam erochim ne'atzman, v'sarifan, and he burns it there, v'shem shenema, so he makes a special fire arrangement on the floor of the Azor and burns it, v'shem shenema, v'kodesh be'et tesarif, because it requires sarif, and it has to be a noticeable, visible ceremony. Tanya Mehoch, we find the same in the Braisa. Hadam ba'ashem v'amenochi, it's v'anesachem sh'netmu. All these materials that became tamei, oshla merochav ne'atzmon v'sarfon, and they are burnt separately, separate from the other psulim. Some actually take out the word menachos, but menachos aren't really liquids, so it doesn't need its own maracha, that you can just put in the regular, you know, fire used for the other psulim. Okay, in any case, Amalei Shmuel Rav Chana Bar Gedusa. So Shmuel turned to Rav Chana from the town of Baghdad. He says, I want to publicize this halacha. I see Libi Asor, please bring me, gather me 10 people. Let's make a public spectacle where I'll announce this halacha for all to know. I'll tell you in their presence this halacha that we just learned. Nesachem Shnitmu. Nesachem that got wrong. Oislan Maroch Vnei Atzman of Surf. He has to establish a special maracha for them to be burnt separately on their own in a visible, nikar manner. Okay, so we learned about Tadr, Vishayna Tadr, Tadr Kaidem. We learned about one Shaila was Tadr and Makudash. Which one's first? Unresolved. What about if you went ahead and did the end of Tadr before the Tadr? Do you stop and go back to the Tadr or do you just finish? Unresolved. We learned about the Kehanim eating the Karbanis in a honorable, royal way. Could one donate oil as a separate donation? According to Rabbi Shimon, no. According to Rabbi Tachin, yes. What is done with that oil? According to one shita, you do kemitza, which goes on the mizbeach, and the rest of the kehanim. According to the other shita, it's completely burnt on the mizbeach. All agree regarding oil, right? Shmuel says regarding an adav of oil, it is sprinkled on the mizbeach without concern of being mechaba the esh. In accordance with the Shmuel, that Davashen Miskaven is mutter, as opposed to the Brisa, which says it's asur, like Rabbi Yehuda. Nesachem Shnitmu require their own maracha in fulfillment of their obligation to be burnt in a way which is visible. And this was publicized in front of the minyan that was gathered by Rav Chana Bar Gedusa. Hadron Lachla Tadr, all the best to you and much atzlacha.